It's time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92. Every week we get together with registered dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens to talk a little bit about health and nutrition. And Amber, of course, the owner-operator of Immu Nutrition,
yep.
Which we'll talk about that here in a little bit and how to get online with that program. But welcome back to the airwaves for another week.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, we're going to talk today a little bit about with people packing food for their kids for lunches and going outdoors and all that kind of thing with food. We're going to talk food safety and
yes.
Foodborne illnesses today.
Yeah, maybe not quite as fun of a topic as chickpeas and potatoes, but an important one nonetheless.
I'd say it is.
Yes.
Having had experience with a bad meat and cheese tray, we won't get into that too much, but everybody at the radio station, Terry and Paul and I all got nailed by a bad meat and cheese tray one time. So
yes,
we can identify with the importance of keeping your
absolutely
food refrigerated and safe and everything. So
you and I have both both had the experiences.
Had
and we'll spare everybody the details.
we won't get into it.
But
it's not good, and you don't want to do it. And give us some tips. How can we avoid it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And more common, I think, a lot of people have probably had an experience with a foodborne illness, and maybe not even realized it, because especially when we're dealing with kids. The symptoms of foodborne illness tend to mimic the symptoms of a lot of other stomach bugs that they might come home with. So it might be that nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, things like that, that we just say, well, kids are kids. They're around other kids. They're going to get sick. And sometimes they are. Sometimes it's the food that's causing it. So as we're kind of rolling into these last few weeks of picnic weather, and as we're getting started with school, if we're packing lunches, packing snacks.
Tomorrow is National
Eat Outside Day.
I didn't know that.
National Eat Outside Day tomorrow.
Okay. Well, this is a good time to talk about this.
It is. And I think taking advantage of these last few weeks of, maybe not a few weeks, couple months maybe, right? We've got of good outdoor weather.
So, yeah.
Hard to know here. It's great to get a little fresh air in the evenings or on the weekend too. But if you take advantage of tomorrow, get outside, eat your evening meal together. Sometimes, especially during the school year, mornings get busy trying to get out the door, then a long school day and a long work day. And then oftentimes that rolls right into a busy evening. So taking a couple of evenings during this nicer weather to take a deep breath, get some fresh air, eat outside, mix up mealtime a little bit can be really good for you. So in order to keep that good for you, we need to keep the food
good
safe.
For you.
That's right. That's right. So the danger zone is what we call it when food is at a temperature that promotes the kind of creation or development of foodborne illness. So that range is between 40 degrees and 140 degrees is roughly that range. So it's a pretty big range, and food is going to travel in that zone, but we want to minimize the amount of time that it spends there. So it's important for us to keep cold foods cold, keep hot foods hot. So no matter what we're sending for lunch, and we'll talk at the end here about some kind of more stable options too, things that maybe don't need to be kept cold or kept hot. But if we are sending things that are cold, it's important to keep them that way. If we are sending things that are hot, it's important to keep them that way. So talking about those cold foods first, a lot of these foods that we tend to send for lunches, things like maybe a chicken salad or egg salad on sandwich or lunch meats, are foods that tend to be much higher risk for foodborne illness because it's easy for them to travel outside of that zone pretty quickly. So if we think about 32 degrees being freezing, right? We're already sending it probably somewhere in the range of 33 to 42 degrees. And if we keep it out of that range, bacteria can grow pretty quickly. So if you are sending cold foods cold, important to send them in an insulated lunchbox, first of all. So we all kind of have this vision in our mind of school lunches that come in the brown paper bag.
Right.
Not a good idea if you're sending something cold.
Banana and a sandwich, meat sandwich or something.
Right. Yeah. So if you have a banana and a peanut butter sandwich, you go ahead and use that brown paper bag. But if you're putting lunch meat, string cheese, anything like that in there, we really want to make sure we've got not only an insulated lunchbox, but the recommendation is to have at least two cold packs in there. So when we send, because we send lunch for our little one every day because of his food allergies, we send in an insulated lunchbox that actually has little compartments on the bottom and on the top for ice packs. And then we send it in what's called a bento box. Have you heard of or seen bento boxes before?
I have not.
So they're just nice little sectioned out boxes is all they are. They're handy if you have them around or pick some up, but they're not essential. But there are bento boxes now that will come with kind of built-in cold packs too. So there's a little portion of it that you stick in the freezer, take it out, and you can put it right in there against the food.
Pretty handy.
It is pretty handy. It works out pretty well. So if you are sending meat and cheese, there are lots of different sandwiches you can do. We typically think of meat and cheese. You can make them a little bit more nutritious by doing something like hummus and pulled chicken with mozzarella cheese, or guacamole with turkey and Swiss, or cream cheese, ham, and cheddar, something like that, to get in those good healthy fats, to get in the protein, all of those things that we typically talk about. Cold pasta salads are another great option to send, especially if we've added in some protein and veggie, and then any leftovers that you can serve cold. So a lot of rice and pasta dishes are actually still, they taste okay cold. That type of stuff is okay to send that way as well. If you want to send hot foods, typically we'll send them then in a thermos. If you want to use that, what you have to do in the morning is you just fill that thermos with boiling water and let it sit for a few minutes before you put any kind of food in it. So boil the water, put the water in the thermos, let it sit for a few minutes, pour it out, and then fill it with whatever food you want to put in. Now, the important thing is we want to put food into that thermos that's hotter than we would normally serve it, so that while it's sitting there for those few hours at school before lunch rolls around, or if you're taking it with you to work before lunch rolls around, we want it to be the right temperature that whole 3 or 4 hours that it needs to wait. So be thinking about putting things in there hotter than we would normally serve them to ourselves or to our kids.
Good idea.
So if you're thinking about sending that with your kid, then important to think about age. If we're sending hot lunches, are they old enough to kind of figure out if it's the right temperature for them to eat? We don't want kids burning themselves either, right? If the thermos is too effective. But think about, you know, what they're used to eating, how much assistance they have at lunch, how much time they have at lunch, all of that kind of stuff. But you can even toss chicken nuggets into there if you want to give them a hot lunch someday. Any leftovers? We did stir fry last night. I could have heated that up this morning and sent it along. I didn't. I just sent it cold. Working on building non-picky eaters with some of this stuff. But just making sure that that thermos is keeping things hot, or those ice packs are keeping things cold, so we can avoid all those foodborne illnesses, because there's a lot. We've got, you know, E. coli, salmonella, staphylococcus, norovirus, clostridium, listeria. We won't go through all of them, but
there are a lot of them.
There's a lot of different ones. And the symptoms,
they're not good.
They're not good. None of them are good. And those symptoms might come on in a couple of hours. It might take 12 hours before the symptoms set in. But those symptoms are not pleasant. So if you're worried about it, go ahead and send some stable options. National Trail Mix Day is also coming up this week. So that can be a fun thing to throw in for kids. You know, beef sticks that are sealed and are shelf stable, those are okay to send with a peanut butter sandwich, like we mentioned. Crackers, if you do send crackers, aiming for whole grain options whenever you can instead of refined grains, but any crackers fine. Sealed fruit cups, fresh fruit, fresh veggies, any stable thing to drink. So you can get shelf stable milk boxes. We do a lot of Hint water boxes. Don't have any sugar added. We want to try to minimize that sugar coming from liquids especially. So trying not to put juice boxes or like the juice pouches or anything like that in there if you can avoid it. But Hint water, if you haven't tried it, can be a great option.
I've tried it. It's pretty good.
It's not bad, right?
Yep.
Yeah, just don't give your kids the caffeinated ones, especially the little ones, right?
wind them up.
That's right.
All right. Well, a lot of good information there, Amber. And I was just looking up bento boxes. I'd never heard of them before. They come in a variety of styles and things here for... looks like a handy way of little segments there. You can separate your food and
absolutely
keep it pretty handy. So
They seal off really nice. So if you have crackers or something, they won't spill into, like I put yogurt and crackers into it, but it seals off nice. So
okay,
they won't spill into each other.
Very good. I see there's even a Paul Ramos size bento box.
There we go. There's all varieties.
All right. Put his pie in there during the pie eating contest.
So. There we go. Yeah, right. That's an option.
Well, Amber, if anybody wants to talk to you more about this or anything dealing with nutrition and diet and that kind of thing, that's what you're here for. It's your job. So give them your information.
Absolutely. So they can go online to imunutrition.com. That's I-M-U and then the word nutrition.com. Or they can reach out on Facebook. Just look for my Immune Nutrition Facebook page and reach out to me that way. Or give us a call here at the radio station.
Call the radio station. We know where to find you.
You
right
got
here
it.
In Madison, Minnesota.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Amber, appreciate it. We'll talk again next Tuesday for another Taco Tuesday.
Sounds great.
Amber Boyens with us here on Q92.